This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and what's next. It's a show that asks questions and peels back the layers of our average everyday experience and goes beyond scratching the surface. We interview people doing incredible things who are making a difference around the globe. Join me as we listen in and get one step closer to understanding that big ideas shared create collaboration, collaboration can inspire community, and communities create social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So Frederica Foya is also one of my newest favorite directors from the Toronto International Film Festival this year. She directed a short, a seven-minute film that she made for 100 euros called Exit Entrance. And, you know, at the risk of overstating, she'd probably be laughing and smiling right now if she's listening to this, but it really is a beautiful, lyrical, and poetic piece of filmmaking. It is layered. It is thoughtful, and it is just, it's absolutely gorgeous to watch from her narration, from her choice of the images that she used, the cinematography. And there's a very, sensitive and delicate touch. And it's a film that will work on a variety of levels. And so we get into a conversation about a lot of things. And before the tape recorder was rolling, Frederica said to me, you know, I don't want to talk about anything political. And then we started to roll the tape recorder. And immediately she started talking about something that was intensely political, but in an implicit way. And so I think this is the genius of who she is and what she's doing through her art. And I wish her well. And you're going to really enjoy this. She's a lot of fun. She could absolutely be a comedian. She's got a great sense of humor. Enjoy this and try to see the film, Exit Entrance. It's a seven-minute film, and you won't regret it. Frederica Foya. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a special guest today, world premiere of her film, Frederica Foya.
Yes, that's
using
right.
Using her pronunciation. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really honored.
So your film, Exit Entrance.
Yes.
One of the lines, I mean, a beautiful film, by the way, very poetic, very lyrical, and delightful to watch.
Thank
and
you.
Worth many viewings, in my opinion.
Thank you.
And not just because it's only 7 minutes, but it's a beautiful poetic piece, in a sense. But one line that really stands out to me is, this is not your land. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and the sort of the genesis for this project for you,
yeah,
or this poem?
Yeah. Well, the genesis of this, it's my 3 years as an immigrant in Canada. So this is my very own experience here. And this land is not yours is what I've been feeling when I came here, because Canada is a place that is full of controversies, and it accepts you, but then it also rejects you. And I've been going through many different phases as an immigrant here. In fact, the voiceover that you hear in the film is the collection of 3 years of writing all my feelings down as an immigrant. And so, yeah, that was one of the phases, to feel rejected and to feel like this land is not yours, which is a paradox, because actually Canadians don't own this land, because they did the same. They came here and they treat so badly the Native Indians.
The indigenous populations,
And I don't think that the concept of borders and owning a land is obsolete, because nobody, Canadians don't own the land. Italians don't own Italy. I'm Italian. So, you know, nobody owns the land. It's there for everyone to inhabit and use and be there.
You said to me before the recorder was on that you're not political. The notion of borders being obsolete is a deeply political statement,
oh,
which
wow.
is wonderful and something we should really explore.
Okay, let's explore that.
Yeah. But you said also earlier that Canada is full of controversies.
Yes.
Do you also mean, sort of in a way, paradoxes? Like,
oh, yes.
So we say one thing and we actually
do
another.
Oh, yes, it's very much so. And maybe I shouldn't say these things, because this will mean the end of my filmmaker career in Canada.
I don't think so.
But
no.
It doesn't really matter, because I don't need a lot of money to make my film. I just shot this with 100 euros in Italy.
100 euros.
So even if I don't get any finance from Canadian, it's fine. No, I'm joking.
That might be the lowest budget film
in the world.
In the world, yeah. You just broke a Guinness World Record.
I know, right? I'm very good at these kind of things. It's full of paradoxes because it's there is an acceptance of multicultural differences, but I feel it's only on the surface. Mm. There is a deep fear of the people that come here, and they endanger the position or job market or the acceptance is on the surface, at least for my experience. So I wish there was more, the government would do more for opening the arts and also the mind of Canadians.
One of the other filmmakers, Mina Shum and Selwyn Jacobs, that I interviewed was about a Canadian riot, basically a race riot that occurred in 1969. I was four at the time. I have no understanding or recollection, obviously, but I know nothing about it. I knew nothing about it. Yeah. And she's directed this beautiful film about these race riots.
Yeah.
And one of the comments of the people that she interviews in the film says, you know, Canadians are racist, they're just really polite about it.
Exactly.
Which I think is a really interesting statement, because we typically think of Americans, right? As being, well, Canadians, we welcome everyone.
Exactly. Like there is a label on Canadians for how accepting and polite they are. But this is just a label, I think, and it's not the truth. But this is true for all the races, for all the populations in the world. Like, there are controversies in Italy, there are controversies everywhere.
Of course, of course.
It's just that Italians, maybe they are not known to be accepting and polite as Canadians, which is kind of true. But yeah, I think there's so much work to be done here, so much work that's unbelievable. And all the people that I've been talking to, I've experienced the same kind of feeling. It's just that nobody talks about it because it's not polite.
There, I mean, we just interviewed, or I just came out of the conversation with Daniel and Emmanuel Lecomte with their film Je suis Charlie, and that's kind of was the theme of our interview, was there, the whole point of what Charlie Hebdo was doing was to provoke, was to talk about things that most people like to sort of, you know, sweep under the carpet or just push them under the table.
Of course.
Isn't that what you're trying to do for the most part as an artist, as a poet? You know, as opposed to, say, a journalist or, well, a journalist, I suppose. But I guess my question might be, why not write a book about this? Why do a film? Why do a poem? Because really, this is a poem.
Well, because I'm really visual as a person. So I think that images stay with people more. Mm-hmm. And I started as photographer and writer of poems in Italy. And so I combined the both things in this short. I really, honestly, it was an experiment. Mm. I wasn't sure what was gonna come out of this
beautiful.
Shooting.
It's beautiful, yeah, it
so
really
I just,
is.
And actually, it didn't even start as a statement or as a way of being provocative. I just really wanted to get all the experience out of my chest and move on with my life. So it was kind of a selfish experiment. I did it for myself, basically. And then I came here, and I shot in Italy. I came here, and I turned it into this short.
So you think that a lot of people coming to Canada, a lot of immigrants, are facing similar issues?
Oh, yeah.
And are these issues of delays and, and explicit racism, or is it more of a, would you say, kind of an implicit kind of thing where it's not quite as in your face?
Is not in your face for the community of Canadians to be aware of that. Like, I don't think Canadians, like common people, are really aware of what's going on. But between immigrants that come here, it's a big issue because I am still waiting for my work visa. And I applied and I've been here for 3 years. And I went through so many visas. I had a working holiday visa, then I had a open work permit visa thanks to a sponsorship, and now I'm trying to get a permanent residency. And it's a process that is so stressful. It's very stressful. And I think there should be some common sense applied to each case. Like, I understand there's a multitude of people coming here, so there are rules that needs to be enforced and respected, and it's good, because if you want to keep this country the great place it is, you have to go through rules. But also there should be like more of a common sense and try to see, you know, what kind of immigrants are coming and how you can help them. you don't feel really welcomed here.
Well, there's it's like any bureaucracy, right? Yeah. Any government kind of pushes out the humanity, right?
Yeah.
They squeeze out all relational sort of, you're just a number, right? And I've got a form and I've got a bear, you know, I don't even need to look you in the eye because you're just another form or file folder on my desk.
Yeah.
And I just got to get you finished so I can get you into the, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great question to ask that I think comes out of your film. I mean, how do we inject more you know, humanity into the average and the everyday, right? I mean, how do we do that? Why is it so easy to forget?
Oh, it's very easy to forget. And it's one of the other controversies going on. But to keep talking about how controversy and paradox are here, at the same time, I found an humanity and understanding for arts in Canada that I never found anywhere else. Mm. I left Italy, which is supposed to be the land of cinema, because I had to make films in Canada. There was no possibility for me to make film in Italy because there was no art support. Mm. And instead here, the art support is amazing. So, you know, we live in a country of controversies, and it's beautiful and it's sad at the same time.
Well, your film is kind of timely with what's going on. I mean, it's always been an issue. You know, your comment right out of the gate about borders being meaningless.
I think
that's a very profound statement from a global perspective. I think from a foreign policy perspective, what are the implications of that kind of a notion? But also, as we see that starting to unfold, especially with Syria now, I mean, this is a problem that's been going on for 4 years. The war in Syria has been going on for four years, and all of a sudden, everybody notices Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
how
come
it took 4 years? Right? So these are great questions that come out of, I think.
I think it's because now it's sensational for media to put a photo, for example, to put a photo of a dead kid on the shores, the famous photo that we have all seen. It was a very sensational photo for media to get attention to that. But then the day after, the same media were talking about, I don't know, Johnny Depp on the red carpet of Thief. So, because that was sensational.
That's the story I paid attention to, by the way.
Exactly.
Of
course.
I've got a selfie here, actually.
Of course. Yeah, I see that on your phone.
That's right, yeah.
So it's like, it takes a long time because to raise awareness about these things, the media go for sensational news. So if it's just 2,000 people dying, it's not sensational because it's something we are used to. And this is very crazy.
It is crazy. Let's talk about your poetry, your filmmaking. You say that you're laced to your art in your film.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, tell me about that. What do you mean? I mean, because it sounds lovely.
Because that's... I think everybody, when moving from a country to another, you carry the things that you are, that they are the most dear things to you. So the most dear thing to me is my art, because I can carry it anywhere. I don't need to put it in my luggage. It comes with me because it's my heritage. So that was my tool to stay sane in this kind of crazy situation I went through as an immigrant. So the art is just a symbol. It could have been any other thing, and you stay laced to it because you want to hold on to it and not lose yourself. So it's a tool for not losing your identity in a new place. It makes you, it reminds you who you are. So that's the art, but can be anything else. For
I love the fact that you use the word lace, and you don't say that you're tied to your art. You say you're laced to it. It's a little more delicate.
Oh, thank you for appreciating that.
Yes, you're welcome.
Love to choosing word carefully.
Yeah.
I think it's very important. And this is another aspect.
Did you write the poem before the film? Like, was the poem finished?
No, it wasn't a full poem.
It wasn't a full piece.
It was many, I don't know, I don't have them with me, but there were many pieces of paper that were laying around the house for 3 years, because I'm not really neat and tidy. So I write everywhere and then I abandon them. And then I opened this box when I was doing the film, and I was like, oh, this is cool stuff. I'm really good. No, I didn't think I'm really good. But I was like, okay.
Well, you start to see the connections, right?
I started to see the connection. I had no idea what I was doing, David. Sorry about that.
Well, I think, at the risk of overstating, to me, it's the sign of a great piece of art.
Thank you. There's
a philosopher by the name of Michael Polanyi that talks about the idea of indwelling. And indwelling is that we academically, we relationally, we thoughtfully, we soulfully draw from all these things that are a part of who we are, and then it's expressed, right?
Yeah.
It's expressed through our anger and our art and our writing and so on.
And you're
and
not
so you're
aware.
Pulling, you're not aware of it, exactly. It's there's a tacit kind of element to it.
I'm totally unaware of everything.
All the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm also unaware of the fact that I won't be able to make any more film after this interview.
actually, I think quite the opposite. I mean, let's build on the fact that Canada is a good place to find birds funding. Is that, would you say, is that the reason why you wanted, really the reason you wanted to come to Canada?
Yes.
Or were you feeling any other kind of oppression?
No, I think that was the reason.
Arts.
I knew
arts.
That in art you can come and make art in Canada. It's unlike other places where I've been. Here they really care about art and they nourish talents and they are willing to mentor. I found Deepa Mehta to be my mentor.
Which is marvelous.
And she adopted me and she...
How did you pull that off, by the way? Did you just camp out on her doorstep?
Exactly.
Yeah, did you?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's what I do in my life. I go stalking people too.
That's right.
It's actually, yesterday I gave my DVD to Celan, the Palme d'Or winner for Winter Sleep last year.
Nice.
And the bodyguard was almost arresting me, but that's how I met Deepa.
I can see the handcuff marks
exactly.
on your wrist.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Good for you, though. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Because
to me, this is what the film festival is all about. 40th anniversary. Why not celebrate it through some younger filmmakers that are making films? I mean, I interviewed Armand Haley and her producer, who's her husband, and I can't remember his name right now. That's outrageous. But they made their film for $10,000, a full-length feature film in Ethiopia. I mean, how cool is that? How amazing is that? I mean, that is what we should be celebrating, right? It seems to me, anyway.
No, it seems so. I agree with you. And it's great. I honestly think TIFF is the best film festival in the world because there is an accessibility to talents that are more experienced than you, and they can mentor you. So you really get to meet the
How long have you been working with Deepa Mehta for?
For 2 years
now. And would you say kind of side by side in a way?
Yes, like side by side, very much so.
Is that right, so? Eh? So that's a wonderful kind
it's
of
It's wonderful because she was very generous and very giving and not afraid of sharing all the tips of filmmaking with me. Actually, I know, giving me more than what I expected. So, it was an amazing experience.
So let's go back to that idea of indwelling. What did you pick up from Deepa Mehta that you wouldn't be able to write down, do you think?
Okay,
a way of editing, a way of writing, you know, an eye.
Okay, first of all, I picked up the controversy love. You know, I dig into controversies and things that they need to be said, and maybe people don't want to go there because it's risky, and then because you have problem finding
Fear.
Funds. You know. So I picked probably... And I wish I picked, I hope I picked that, her courage, to be a courageous filmmaker.
Nice.
You don't have to be shy for controversies. And then on the art side of it, I learned a lot on how to direct actors. She has a beautiful way of doing workshop before her films, and they come from theater techniques, from the Indian theater techniques. And I assist her during the workshop as well with all the actors for the film. They were not rehearsal, they were just workshop to learn the acting techniques. And it was mesmerizing. Mm. And I actually used the same technique with my actor.
So tell me about the technique, because I bet you she doesn't have it written down.
Maybe I shouldn't talk about it.
You don't have to talk about it.
No,
but
no,
what I
mean,
what's fascinating
to
me is that she didn't pull you into a room like this, a boardroom, and get out a whiteboard and write down the 10 things that you need to do,
that's
right? And yet you're walking out of the room going, okay, I have insight.
Exactly.
That's fascinating to me for a whole lot of reasons.
Oh yeah, you could totally see on set that from the first take to the last take of the same scene, the actor changed their performance totally. Mm. They went from a good performance to like Oscar-winning performance thanks to the way she talked to them. And she used this emotional connection with their own life, and she pulled deep-rooted feelings. And I was just mesmerizing. I owe her everything. Also, the push to make this film. She forced me to do it. It's her fault if I'm in trouble now.
Yes. Well, at least you have somebody you can blame.
Yeah,
because heaven
totally
forbid,
your fault,
we, heaven forbid we blame ourselves, right? That we actually hold ourselves
it's
responsible.
It's always other people's
fault. Oh, yeah, totally.
Totally
yes, exactly.
Your fault.
So we'll probably wrap up soon here, Frederico, but I love this notion, and I think, and again, this has been a theme for me. I've done quite a few interviews for this festival this year, but you know, you talk about being present and being loved and belong and wanting to belong. And I actually think that, you know, the Old Testament scriptures say that pride comes before a fall. Actually, I think the fact that most of us don't have a home, that most of us don't have a place that we can go to, and I don't mean a building.
I mean
a truck driver driving down the road, they're feeling at home,
yes.
At home in this world. And
yeah.
That's to do with relationships. It's to do with the environment.
Yeah.
It's to do with political statements.
Of course.
And borders and all these things. And I so love that about this piece that I think it's a, I think it's a warning, actually.
It's a warning. We all need a home. Like, we really all need a home. And I was very lucky to have a home in Canada, despite all the controversies. But there's so many people that are not finding a home. And we really need to worry about that. And also, home can be emotions.
Well, that's what I think that's what I'm driving at a little
yeah.
more is this idea of being comfortable with who we are and
yeah.
where we are, wherever
yeah.
it is. It's driving a truck, flying a plane,
yeah.
sitting in a boardroom, right?
And for many people, like Syrian refugees, emotions are a luxury.
Mm.
They don't have them. They cannot afford it. So we are very rich to have a home and to have emotions and to have a place where to feel at home. But what about these people?
Well, I want to ask the question, what happens when people feel alienated? So if you feel alienated by your wife or your husband or your mother or your children, your religion, your school, your country, right?
Yes.
Or the country you're trying
yeah,
to come to.
Of course.
Now, what do you do? How do you react to that? How do
yeah.
you respond?
And
I think
films.
That's a great question, but a dangerous question. Yeah, you make films,
I
but
make
not
films.
Everyone does.
Not everyone does, and not everyone has the luxury to make films.
Well, not everyone has 100 euros.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. It seems a paradox, but it's true.
It's totally true.
You know,
true.
There is a story of a guy that is in Italy, and he's in Ventimiglia. I don't know if you're aware of what's going on. All the African refugees are on the rocks of Ventimiglia, which is a city between Italy and the border of France.
Oh, okay.
So he's there, and all he has is 100 euros. And you know what he's spending in that? On train tickets to try to cross the border.
Hmm.
So four times a day, he spends his 10 euros, for example, to get a train ticket and cross the border. And every time, for 4 days, he gets pushed back. So he said, I only had 100 euros, and I spent them all on train tickets. And now, even if they open the borders, I don't know where to go. So we were laughing about not everyone has 100 euros. It's very true. You know?
It's absolutely true.
And
yeah.
sad.
The gap seems to grow. I mean, the field that I work in, you know, the whole idea of one of the things that I think films like yours and poems and essays and so on like yours bring attention to is the idea of poverty, for instance. Poverty is about being present and being loved
yeah.
and belonging. It's not just
yeah.
about money.
No, it
it's
is
not just about cash.
Yeah.
And when we think about it, we usually think about these things, you know, economically or based on numbers,
yeah.
right? Quantifiable yeah. things. And this is why pieces like yours, I think, are so wonderful because they appeal to us on qualitative levels. Does that make sense?
It does
on,
make
on,
sense.
On emotional levels, on spiritual levels, yeah. on relational levels.
Well, I'm really glad. I'm really glad you understood that, and I hope people will understand.
I hope so too. Where are people going to be able to see this film? Is it online? Is it? I think it's on. It's
still playing.
It's still playing
tomorrow.
Fantastic. Okay.
At the 3:45 p.m. at Scotiabank Cinema 11. It belongs to program Shortcut Program 7.
Okay.
But it's also, if you feel like going to London, it's playing in Raindance Film Festival
nice.
In London.
Okay.
In a few days, and then it's going. If you feel like going to Iceland, it's playing
oh,
in
all right. well,
Reykjavik Film Festival
excellent.
In October.
And then once will it be available online through your website or something?
I'm hoping to go to as many festivals as possible
nice.
Because festivals give you a home where you can showcase your
yeah,
work
absolutely.
And talk about these issues. In fact,
yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Really glad that TIFF gave me a home for my art.
Right. Excellent.
It was
yep.
the first festival yep. I world premiered to,
nice.
And I hope many others. And after the festival circuit is over, I will release it online because it's the best way to send it to as many people as possible.
And the website is exitentrance.ca?
Yes, that's the website.
Exitentrance.ca.
Yeah.
Frederico, thank you so much.
Oh,
I think
you
should
David.
Go into politics, actually.
Oh,
that's my
God.
Recommendation.
My mom said,
politics
don't
or comedy? I'm not sure which one.
I'm very comic.
Yes, you'd be great on stage as a
comedian.
My
mom said, when you do interviews, don't say too many political things. Because it's not going to help your
career.
You're
an artist. How can you not? That's the nature of the field that you work in.
I'll come to you if I don't find finance after
Excellent.
This interview.
Good. Well, we can chat. Thank you so much for sharing this film with us, and congratulations.
Thank you, David.